Have you ever wondered how sound can heal, inspire, and transform your life? What if the vibrations around you could unlock your true potential and guide you to a deeper sense of harmony? Welcome to Sound Pathways, the groundbreaking journey into the healing power of sound, creativity, and connection with your host, Dr. Karen Olson. In each episode, she explores the profound link between your mind, body, and spirit. From composers and musicians to sound healers and visionary leaders, she'll dive into captivating conversations that reveal how sound shapes your reality, heals our wounds, and helps us manifest our dreams. And guess what? You're part of the conversation. So call in and ask questions and experience personalized sound healing live. And let your sound be your guide to the life you've always dreamed of.
Welcome to Sound Pathways, where we explore music, story, and the creative process, and how you can create the life of your dreams. My guest today is the incomparable Billboard Top 10 Americana artist, Grant Malloy Smith, as potent as Woody Guthrie and a national treasure like John Prine. His music paints vivid portraits of the American experience, such as in his albums Dust Bowl, Appalachia, and Mississippi, American Stories. Grant is co-founder with Eileen Sherman of Indie Collaborative, a community of more than 2,000 professional musicians who love creating, performing, and recording original music, and often together. And before we go further, I am so excited to share that Sound Pathways is now collaborating with Indie Collaborative. Two collaborations. It's fantastic. You'll be hearing more about this and its amazing artists and the storytellers on future episodes of this show. Some I've already had the joy of interviewing, and there's many more to come. It is so exciting. So I'm so grateful to Eileen and for you to be on board about this vision and saying yes and creating this community, combining all of this together, because I love sharing people's stories and their process and with the world, because there's so many exceptional people and dreamers that really do things. So I want to give you the warmest welcome to Sound Pathways. I am so thrilled that you're here.
Oh, thank you very much, Karen. Great to be here.
Thank you so much.
I'm really looking forward to all of our future collaborations.
I want to share even more and more, but as we begin, I invite you to remember that we each carry living stories within us, and it's shaped by history, it's shaped by experience and community, and how those stories can become life songs for us and what we share and what we live through the way we speak, create, love, and show up in the world. Grant, when you think about your work today, these Americana stories, and can you also share what is a good description or of Americana for anyone that might not know that genre?
Yes. You know, it's kind of the, I jokingly call it the land of misfit toys, or the island of misfit toys, because it's, if you're kind of like country, but not exactly in that genre, because that genre has kind of specific rules about what is country and what is not. Mm-hmm. If you're kind of like bluegrass or folk music, rootsy music forms in general, but you're not exactly in those genres, then you get put into this category called everything else. So we made a name for it some years ago called either Americana or American Roots. It's kind of country, folk, et cetera, but not exactly those things. Somewhere in the middle.
Wow, and it's about America.
Yes, yeah. And it's the essence of our root forms, you know, that started here after the European diaspora, and they came over here at starting in the 1600s, and they brought their folk music. And then, you know, we turned it into our folk music, and we turned it into our blues and our jazz and our forms of music, rockabilly that became rock and roll and all that stuff. And this is just one little signpost along the way of that journey of the last 300 or 400 years.
Oh, I remember when I first heard Dust Bowl, and I didn't know about the Dust Bowls. So it really expands people's knowing of what's come before, which is so important. It hasn't always been my focus, so I
Right.
thank you for that as well. And so when you look back, what are some early music memories of stories that you really felt like sharing that really started your path as being a singing storyteller?
Wow, that runs a wide gamut, actually. I had a lot of influence as a very young boy. I grew up in the South, and my grandmother and my mother were both from Kentucky originally, and so they had a love, especially my Grammy, had a love for what she called her mountain music, which you would call it bluegrass today, but people like Bill Monroe and Ralph Stanley and all that whole bluegrass thing that started in the I don't even know what decade it started, but it was very popular in 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. And it's still popular now. It's changed a lot, and there's new versions of like music's constantly evolving. But that was a big part of it. And I heard of these guys with the real high Kentucky voices singing like this. And I heard, you know, all their stories, and the banjos and the guitars were ringing. And I was entranced by that. I thought it sounded kind of old fashioned to my, because I, you know, the Beatles were also quite big. And when I was a little kid, I was like 4 or 5 years old. So there was that was more exciting for young people, but there was something about that old mountain music that was great, that really attracted me. And then also, as a kid, I watched Captain Kangaroo, you know, TV show for kids back in the 60s mostly. And he would have these, he put out records actually, the show did. They
Really?
put out records. And they were normally like an LP, you know, front and back, and there was storytelling with music a lot of times.
Wow.
And I had a bunch of those records. So I had Ralph Stanley and Bill Monroe bluegrass records. I had the Beatles records, and I had Captain Kangaroo records, which is pretty eclectic, but that's what it's like when you're, you know,
That
four to
is so cool.
seven
My
years
next
old.
question was going to be what artists inspired and influenced you? So now we know.
There's a few, yes.
That's
There's a lot
fantastic.
more though. There's a lot more.
Any more you want to share, or that's a
Oh, I
pretty good
think
start.
for a melodic genius, Mozart has to be is my number
Oh,
one, my go-to.
that's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah, his music is well, all those great, you know, classical composers are amazing, but there's just something about him that really calls to me. And also the piano mazurkas, especially from Chopin, those are a big influence on me. I mean, despite the cowboy hat, you wouldn't think that classical music would be in my
Well,
lexicon, but it is. It's in there.
I love that your cowboy hat is kind of resembles that you wear so many hats so well. I mean,
It's a
like
wide brim.
the top of, yeah. I mean, gosh, it would be a very long show to learn about all of your different talents and gifts. Eileen was telling, sharing more, you're this amazing graphic designer, and it just goes on and on. So thank you for using them all to help all of us.
Well, I think in a lot of ways I'm just like a typical indie musician these days. You know, we don't have a record label. We don't have a team of people doing everything for us. We sort of all have to do it ourselves. We have to book our own shows. We have to make our own graphics. We have to, you know, make our own records, produce them, pay for everything, you know, get them out there, promote them. We're all doing everything. We all have to be, you know, jacks of all trades and Jills of all trades these days.
That's beautiful. Yes, and it's from the heart that we want to do it, so nothing can stop us.
Right.
That is really beautiful. So you already started sharing about how your music is grounded in people and places and your family, your Grammy, and relationships, and it's just so woven in. And I also love your sense of humor. It always, whenever I read your posts or whatever, and I smile and laugh, and that's also along with the depth of your songs, the lightheartedness. So it's a beautiful combination. So when you
Thank you.
bring in, thank you so much. When you start a new song, what comes, does something come to you first, the story or the person or the history or a lyric or an image or a
Wow,
feeling?
that really varies. I mean, sometimes it's just a feeling, like a mood, you know, or a vibe you get. Sometimes I'll hear someone else's song and go, I really like the vibe of that song. I don't want to steal the song. I don't want to steal their words or their melody, but I like the feeling that it's giving me. I want to make a song that gives me that feeling, you know, with different music and everything. So a lot of times it starts that way. Amy, because I make theme records mostly, like you mentioned, the Dust Bowl and then Appalachia, and then my latest one is Mississippi. And I'm working now on the next one, which is about the Wild West, where America expanded westward in the starting in the early 1800s.
Awesome.
So I do a lot of research for those records. That's why they take me several years to make. And then it's almost like writing a movie in the sense that, I got to have, if I'm studying, let's say, the Dust Bowl, I have to have a song about this and about this and about this and about this, and looking at it from different points of view. Some are very personal, like the person singing is the person in the action of the song. Other times it's from a third person perspective, depending on the type of song it is. So it's almost a roadmap. I shouldn't make it sound so easy because you have to make a million decisions. Because, if I wanted to, like I'd make the album about the Dust Bowl, I could have written 10,000 songs about it, because there's so many things happened over that decade. But you can't. You can only do a dozen or so. So you have to really think about what's the most important, what are the most important stories to tell, and then how to tell them musically so that the songs fit together and they feel like they belong together, but they're not all the same. They don't have the same tempos or the same keys or the same sensibility. Some are fast, some are slow. You have to, it's like a three-dimensional crossword puzzle in a way where you have to make a million decisions, and eventually, an album's never really done. You just run out of time and money after a while, and you just have to put it
I know, and some people never finish them, but I
out.
always think, well, if it didn't fit this time, it'll go in the next one.
Yes,
And
exactly.
wow. So when you sit down with all of this, then just the inspiration comes through you.
Yeah, because I'm reading, like right now, I'm researching the one for the Wild West. So it's going to have, all the topics there start with the Louisiana Purchase in 1803, when we bought, the size of the country doubled in one moment to the next when we bought all that territory from France. It's not, people think we just bought Louisiana, but the Louisiana territory back then was like the size of 10 states. It was gigantic. Just like the Kansas territory was quite large. It's not just what we have today as Kansas, a state that's big, but it's not like that. It was like the size of eight states back then. So the country dramatically increased in size, and we have things like the Gold Rush that inspired people, the Homestead Act that encouraged people to go out and take land and develop it and live there. We had the Transcontinental Railroad, we had the Pony Express just before that, the telegraph right around the same time. All these things happen, and there's a when I read about it, I get inspired to write about it. And usually it's personal. I'm writing at a personal level, like a couple that went homesteading on a wagon across the Missouri Plain out into the Kansas Territory somewhere. And there's no roads, there's no 7-Elevens. There's people that might want to harm you. There's sickness and there's no doctors. It was very difficult. A lot of people perished, but a lot of people made it too. So there's so many stories you can tell.
It's so much fun talking about it because you can see you're kind of like a nonfiction filmmaker.
Right.
And
Yeah, it
you're the lead character and you're experiencing all these things and but you just know how to make it into music and make it come alive and wow, that's just so fascinating. I like to think about the listeners and how they could maybe, I mean, these are stories where you become those people, but even for us to become ourselves and taking that experience and how our lives become a song and how you make this voice heard for people that maybe weren't able to express and all of us now don't understand. Like,
Right.
can you imagine, oh my gosh, can you imagine a decade from, I mean, a century from now, people writing about us now? I mean,
Yeah,
what
we
would
would
that
seem
sound
as
like?
they would think that we're just as primitive as we think people, in the early 1800s
Or we
were.
might look a little like our map got a little skewed or something. The GPS was a little off, but no, I shouldn't say that. We all have our direction, right? Heading north, heading up. So that's really something. Is there any particular, well, yeah, I guess you're so able to express yourself so well, so you already are sharing about these individual stories. Is there another one that grabs you where you just felt ex that you're experiencing it that we might not really have the background and we could understand it better?
Yeah, there's a few more. The one I really like, I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to hire a female singer because I want it to be from the perspective of Sacagawea. I've already written the song. It's going to be
Beautiful.
Very, very powerful and very personal from her point of view. She's the one that led Lewis and Clark, you know, when they did their famous expedition after we bought
Wow.
the Louisiana Territory. They had to explore all the way on foot, you know, all the way up the Missouri River and then all the way out to the Pacific Northwest.
Wow.
They were gone for years and there was no way to communicate back then. So the people back here thought maybe they died and were never going to come back. And one day they just said, "Hey, we're back." And
That's
they, of course, they
amazing.
had discovered all these things. And she was instrumental in our being able to do that and not be killed because, you know, she was like a conduit. She was a Native American, so she could
Oh, get
communicate,
messages.
maybe not with every language, but in a way with every language because she was one of them. And if it weren't for her, I don't think our that mission would not have succeeded. I think Lewis and Clark would both be dead and everyone else would have perished along the way. So she's a
Wow.
very important person in American history and doesn't get talked about enough. So I'm really happy about that song.
That's amazing. I can't wait to hear it. When do you think that'll be released? Do you have any idea or?
And I'm trying for the summer of next year, 26. So that's my
Wow.
goal. That's my goal.
I'm
If I do,
sorry.
if I achieve that, it will be a record because it's always taken me at least 3 years to make one of these records. And that would be only 2 years since I released Mississippi, which came out last August. So if I can get it done in 2 years, that will be a minor miracle, but it's coming along very fast.
Wow, we're all going to be waiting. It's amazing. It's amazing. So while people are driving or cooking dinner or walking, what do you hope they notice from your own life and these living music stories as they listen?
What do I hope that they get from it?
Yeah, experience.
Well, I think at the top level, I want people just to like it, just to like the music. You know, I know I'm doing kind of historical stuff, but I don't want people to feel like that there's going to be a test at the end of listening to the record. You know, you don't have to learn anything if you don't want to. You can just enjoy the songs for what they are. It does help to understand the context a little bit because some of them are kind of specific about where they're set and what, you know, what decade they're set in. And if you don't know that, you might think, what the heck is this guy talking about all these dust storms for? You know, okay, well, it's about the Dust Bowl from, you know, 1930s. So it helps to have that context, but not always. Some of the songs are just about life in general and about, you know, classic things that affect all of us, no matter what century we're living in. You know, there's always the dynamic of human interaction, of love and loss, all that whole thing that hasn't changed in since people have walked the earth so much. So I hope people take that away. I have songs that people really feel deeply about. I can
Amazing.
tell because they, you know, they might cry or when I'm playing
So
them.
beautiful.
Not because I'm playing so bad, but because the subject matter. Oh, make them stop. Make them stop.
Oh, that must feel really, really satisfying when you're able to experience all your visions as they're becoming real life, just as when you co-created the Indie Collaborative and seeing the connections people are making, the support, and what that must, is there any way to even describe what it feels like to have these things realized and to observe them happening?
Well, it's kind of its own reward, you know.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned, the Indie Collaborative, that's definitely been its own reward. And we don't do it. Eileen and I founded it not to make any money because we definitely don't.
It's amazing.
We definitely spend more money than we ever make.
Wow.
But it's a passion thing, you know. We want for years we would go to these. Sometimes they were Grammy meetings. Other times they were just musicians getting together to share their new album or something like that. And we went to these and we thought, you know, we really want to do more of these and have everybody be able to play a song, you know, and share their stuff together. And so when we do these showcases, like you've been a part of, you were part of the one last summer in New York. Was it the summer before? But it was the latest one we did in New York at the Drama League. You were there and played beautifully, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I want to share
And,
with that too.
it's like the world's greatest open mic, you know? It's like an open mic where everybody gets to go up and do a song, but it's not just like anybody going up and doing a song. It's top people, Grammy winners, you know, Emmy, Tony winners, great multi-award winners. So it's really a pleasure to listen to that. That's its own reward. I would do that for free. And in fact, I do. I do that for free. I don't make any money at it.
Wow, I can't thank you enough. I, as you mentioned that opportunity to perform, it was really It was really amazing. And the people I met so many people that I connected with, Kit Wakely and Emily, the people that now are part of my life, and especially want to share that Vivian Fang Liu and I, we heard each other and we said, well, we said we let's do something together one day. And then we were together at the Lovely Ladies Who Lunch that Eileen organizes, and we said, let's collaborate. And so I am so excited because this Saturday, November 29th, we're performing our piece at Carnegie Hall, the Wild Recital Hall, together. And Vivian said, can you imagine? We were just talking about this and now it's actually happening. And you know how beautiful she is with her children's choir? So it's with the children's choir on the bass, and to be able to hear something that I created, I mean, it's different than recording live, because I had the live, symphony, bass, overdubs, and it's like, oh, it's live. Let me go back to those days. So it's just been amazing, and being at the bitter end playing, you just feel like, wow, I'm a part of history. So it's really amazing, and how people open their hearts and just go. I could go on and on about it. It's just remarkable. And I, having gone to Juilliard, I want to say everything good about that experience and how grateful I am, and kind of touching people's high level of genius and just that inspiration. But it wasn't as known for kindness and friendliness and support of each other. It was like a little competitive.
That
Like you
competition.
kind of noticed it, you know? And when I first experienced these incredible artists living these dreams in the biggest ways possible, and they're kind and they're nice and they're loving and they're doing it from their hearts to help the world, and they actually are supporting each other. It was kind of like coming home or something. It was so I can't thank you enough. And also another exciting announcement is Indie Collaborative this year is having a winter holiday celebration concert at Lincoln Center, December 3rd at 7 p.m. So don't miss it. You can get tickets at the Indie Collaborative Facebook page, and you can learn more about it. And it's Collaborative, Indie, Indi. And would you like to share any more about that? It's
Yeah, you
really
can also go
exciting.
to our website, indiecollaborative.com,
Oh, good.
and then click on events, and it's the latest event, event 24. It's the highest number. It's the one that's happening in just not even a week and a half from now, a week and 9 days from now.
Wow.
And boy, it's coming up. And Vivian's going to play with her choir.
That's amazing.
And she and her choir is actually going to sing behind me when I do
Oh
a Christmas song that I
my
wrote.
gosh. So you'll
I
get the
can't
same
wait.
experience.
Oh man, I've never sung in front of a choir before,
And
and
the
I'm
children's
really.
choir. I'm
I
going to have a
it
children's
oh
choir.
it's I think I hope I can get through the song. It's going to be I think it's going to be really emotional.
I know. I think children's voices are like little angels, little
Yeah,
bells.
exactly.
And we're doing Carol of the Bells, so it's kind of.
Right.
Yeah, Vivian is an amazing person. Been a great blessing along with so many great people and you and so much fun, and to be inspired by each other. So wow. Yeah, and thank you for being here today. So your song Man of Steel, it became a theme song for the National Veterans Foundation.
Yes.
So, what's the story behind that song, and how did it become so closely connected with veterans and their service and their healing journeys?
Well, the song came about because I was in Charlotte Airport flying through to somewhere else, and I sat there, waiting for the next plane, and a young man came and sat next to me, and he was maybe in his 20s, and he had an artificial leg, very space age looking one, and he sat down, and you don't really. You're not going to bring that up when someone when you just meet somebody. Hey, tell me about your artificial leg. But we sat there for like probably 4 hours because the plane was so late.
Wow.
Late almost got canceled, and so we talked very deeply after a while. After we got to know each other a little bit, and he told me his whole story and how he lost it in Afghanistan, I think it was, and in a an IED attack. This is back when that was still going on, and but he was so positive and so optimistic about his life. He was going to be the first one in his family ever to go to college. He was going to look at a college on that trip. He was going, he had plans to be married to his fiancée, after they got out of school. And he was just so full of, he wasn't bitter about, being, having lost a leg at that young age at all. And I thought, man, I wish I could, I hope I would be as good as him. I don't think I would have been. I think I might have been a little bitter. But he was so, such an inspiration to me. I got home and I wrote a song like from someone like his point of view, growing up in a small town. He was from a small town in Indiana, and where you know everybody in town, a small town, and then you go off and you serve, and then something happens like that. But the idea of Man of Steel is that he's got steel parts in him, not like Superman, but that but his heart's still real. That's what's in the chorus. And I made a video about it too, and the National Veterans Foundation found out about it somehow, and they adopted it as their official theme song. So I always do that song when I do a show. That's a very emotional song.
That's so inspiring. I, for people who are listening or musicians or not musicians, I know they can feel how deeply you live life and how you observe and you listen and you take in and you share and how you can process all that. Would there be some tips maybe for people that we could look at that process and how we can integrate and weave it into our what we experience into
Well,
our
yeah.
hearts and share?
Right. I think you kind of hit on the essence of it, which is observation. I've always heard that being an artist, of any kind of artist, doesn't matter whether you're a painter or poet or musician, is learning to see things that other people don't see, or see it in a different way. I think like a photographer too. A lot of times a photographer will go, "Oh, look at that." You go, "What? There's a fire hydrant." Yeah, but look at the shadow. Look at the shape that it's making, Look at the negative space. So they know how to see things in a different way. Or they hear, like in my case, another great example was I was at a not a restaurant, but like a shop, not a mall, where they have a food court in Texas. And there was a table next to me of really old people. Well, I'm old, but they were like 80 and 90. They were really old. And they were talking about what it was like to be their age. And I couldn't help but overhear them because they were right, literally like right next to me. And one beautiful old lady said, "When I walk down the street and younger people see me, they look right through me. It's like they don't see me." And I just got a chill. That didn't take much observation on my part. That one hit me like a sack of cement, But I knew at that moment that has to be a song. That has to be a song. So I wrote a song called "I See You,"
I
like
love
"I See
that.
You." And that's another favorite and very emotional song about, respecting people that came before us who are older than us, and seeing them, not just ignoring them because they're old and inconvenient now, but look what they did. They built the world that we live in right now.
Yeah, I totally agree. My mom is 96 and a half and she lives near me and I've
Wow.
been taking her on some trips and her mind is really clear and she's like, "Why didn't people come and talk to me?" And I'm like,
I know.
"Well, why didn't they?" She has so many stories, but
Right.
yeah, it's beautiful.
And when they're gone, you can't ask them anymore.
I know.
So there's a lot. I've lost both my parents, and I re regret some things I didn't ask them that I should have. You just kind of assume they're always going to be there, but they're not.
Yeah. And for all of us, you don't know. So every
Right.
moment.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, thank you for so much inspiration and looking at the American story right now, its challenges and the hopes and how we can have faith and see that we're heading in a good way and to remember who we are and just find ways to write it and share it and sing it and dance it and live us. Because our frontier, it's not just geography, but it's our inner landscape. And just
Yeah.
wow, would you have a parting thought for people for how they can listen and observe and share just a little bit more?
You mean for other writers and artists, or
Yeah,
you
and
mean
people. Yeah.
people in general? Well, I think for well, starting with people who are, let's say, songwriters, we touched on a little bit is observation.
Yes.
Try to see things in a different way, in your own way. And then, of course, the challenge is to express it in your way. And sometimes that means, if you're a beginning writer, you might emulate other writers, and that's okay to do. That's how you learn. But then eventually you'll find your own voice. and learn how you can express something in a way that no one else can, that's unique to you and true to you. Not contrived to try to get some clicks or something like that, but that really means something to you. If you do that, other people will react. The people that listen to music that don't necessarily write it, but they love to listen to it, which is far more, it's a far greater number of people, right?
Yes.
Consumers of music.
Important people.
Yeah. Without them, what would we do? Play
Exactly.
songs for each other. So you'll reach those people. You'll reach people if you're true, if you're as honest as you can be. And sometimes that's not very comfortable, but it's almost like a relationship. Sometimes you have to be honest with people and say things that might be a little uncomfortable, but if you do it with love and kindness and generosity and without an ulterior motive, but just to make things better, people will see, feel that, and they'll react to it. Maybe that was a
Yeah.
little esoteric, but
No, I love it because it's so easy to feel your heart and how big it is and how you can share that. And I think when we can connect with our hearts and share that way, everyone feels it. And that's really what
yeah.
it is all about. So as people are discovering you, how can they find more out about you and your social media handles and about your events and your recordings coming out?
Yeah, my website's probably the best place to go in general because it has links to everything else. So it's my three names, Grant Malloy Smith, and
And it's
Malloy,
one L.
well, right. It's unusual. Most Malloys have two L's, but who knows? It's been that way in my family for generations. Well, so you can put grantmalloysmith.com, either with or without the hyphens. It'll put hyphens in it if you don't put hyphens in it. But there is my social media stuff because I've got Facebook and all those, Instagram and X and all those ones are there too. And that has my website has my music on it as well. So people still buy CDs sometimes. I also have books that go with these theme records that you can order. And I
Great.
sign everything if anybody orders it from my
That's
website as well.
amazing. Wow, that's so exciting. So I want to encourage everybody in the next day or two to take quiet minutes and moments to write down a story from your life and share it if someone has touched you and find ways to live it and to be it. Because you don't just need to write it down, but it is the living of it that becomes your own living story and your life song. Grant, could you please introduce the video that we're going to be able to experience? And what do you hope we might all understand from it?
I think this video is a song from my Appalachia record, which is about coal mining is a very big part of Appalachia historically. It still is important, but not like it used to be. In the 1940s, we really stopped using coal to heat homes and used oil instead. But we still need coal to make steel, for example. So as long as we need steel, we're going to have coal, but not like we used to have. Anyway, it's a man who's lived his whole life, and now he's kind of broken down. And coal mining is a very difficult, very dangerous job. And he's older, he's retired, he's got miner's lung, so he's not, it's fatal, he's gonna die from it. But it's not a sad song. He's thinking about expressing how hard he worked his whole life and how proud he is that he provided for his family. So I actually filmed the video in a Harlan County, Kentucky coal mine
Wow.
underground. So there's no green screen or anything like that.
That's
I was in a coal
amazing.
mine.
Thank
So
you.
that I think people will enjoy that one.
That is so beautiful. Well, I'm so grateful for this chance to know more about you and your creative process and just share your story here, the Sound Pathways, this community, and all the community you've built, and how you remind us that we don't walk this path alone, and that our story and song can hold us together. Your life's a living story, and what you've lived, what came before you, and the people around you, they all become part of this life song. In the way that we speak and create and love and show up each day in the world. Keep your story alive and it's still unfolding in every moment. Keep creating, singing, and living your dreams. Blessings and love. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks,
Thank you.
everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much for joining us on today's transformative journey. We're honored to have shared this space with you, and we hope you're feeling inspired and aligned with your highest self. For more insights, resources, and to continue your path of healing, be sure to visit KarenOlson.com, your gateway to deeper sound healing, music, and wisdom. Remember, Sound Pathways is here every other Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on BBS Radio TV, Station 1. Until next time, stay aligned, stay inspired, and let the magic of sound guide you.